though you're standing on the green looking back over the road. My grandmother and my grandfather, who was doing that kind of big group for a gather 7,000 golf balls, try very hard to teach her grandson how to golf. My grand is 94 now, and if on a good day, golfing, my host can still golf at 55 to 58 somewhere in that range. On a bad day, that's still better than me, which is often to say that loud. But very good golfing, but back in her prime, which her prime spans probably 40 years for most people. But on number 9, I would always have an intuition. The truth is that shot is so kind of wide open. And when you're 13, you make a good tee shot, you instantly become very proud of what you just accomplished. And my grand could see that welling up inside of me as he walked down the hill off the ball, headed towards where the ball was being on the floor. Now, there is a smaller tree in the middle of the fairway. Back then, I could not drive the ball past that tree. It was further there inside that tree. And the second shot was always the shot that was automatic for me, the 13-year-old. Because I thought I could make the green too. So over that small tree, cross that brook, up the hill, and land on the green. Ideally, in 6 inches from the cup to the green. And we would make our way to the ball. And my grand would always ask. So what are you thinking about going to the next shot? And I say, well, I'm going to do it. And she would say, well, if you do that, this is what's going to happen. You're going to overswing. You're going to try to kill it. And if you do that, you have a tendency to get all wrong. You can lift your head, pop the ball, stall it, play it, and get yourself in a lot of trouble. So you should probably take a 9 and 7 layup and do it. It's this moment when my grand would ask what I'm thinking about for my second shot. I would tell her, and then she would slowly repeat it back to me. I was unaware of what she was actually trying to do to me, but I just thought that she was from hearing, she was doing those kind of things, she was holding her own. And what she was actually trying to do was like, this doesn't end well. Will you risk it to see me go for a long time? Because I'm actually trying to score well, but that was the flavor of which she was speaking. And I would swing it. And she would laugh and kind of do it. And I was angry at her. Angry at her. And then she would speak in my life again on how to get myself. Generally speaking, you know, it's a good shit out of the freeway, and then you're set good. And I would stick to my freeway and swing away and talk to the office. And I never really understood this until I was older, that my brain was actually trying to restore me, which is the point of it. But the point is, the low school, because if it was a high school, I would often pick a 13, and I was amazing at doing high school. I'm holding on that moment, and I am slowly repeating that Knowing what it's come, if you're a first-time reader to the story, you think, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Having a king solve this problem, like no longer the guy that moves in the clouds, God is not material, not really personal. They have their own king, like a nation, they would reign and rule and bring order to the mess and kind of keep everybody in line and all that stuff. Well, that couldn't be a story of Judges comes to an end, and we can move it. By this God, Israel is never meant to be called. By design, God was called the God. There is a God, he has his people, God speaks to his people, they respond by faith in his voice, and they flourish in the world. This has been their story, God's part, in the story of the world. In chapter 10 of the story of the I will be your God, and they will be my people. The other will be my essentially, is this key all the way through the Old Testament? This is where this phrase, this key, Israel longs to not be kept to God and have their own. They long to have someone else rule over them. And I want to tell you the story that the prophet said Israel. Baby boy in 10. It's a beautiful story. It's sweet. You're is the moment it's really in for the people of God as they no longer live in the relationship with God. This moment of God, this place, is the one thing that is true, you can learn to figure out what's true of God's character in these moments. That's still true today. And what's true of the human God is still true today. So we're going to tell our two things that are true of God in this story that are still true today, and one thing that is not, that is true and true, but it's also true of God's character. This is God of his life is always lets us choose how we want to live our lives. Warns us of the life of the human God in his love always lets us choose how we live our lives. He warns us of what life will be like if we walk away. Thus far in the story, there are three big moments where Israel is brought to a moment of decision, where Moses is the first one, and you can read about it in Deuteronomy 30, where Moses is an old man on the mountainside, he's going to die in a few short days, and he gathers the entire nation together in this giant pep rally, if you will, of victory to their God, to God himself. And he brings them together in the language of the truth for this spectacular. I'm going to paraphrase it, but essentially this is how it goes. He gathers them all together and says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that if on this day you will either choose God and live, or you will choose you and yourself and other gods, and you will die. Israel responds with, we want to choose God. We know what he's done. He's brought us up in the land of Israel, in Egypt. He's done all of these things for us. They respond in this beautiful way of, yes, God is our God. He is faithful to his people. And it's a beautiful scene of this moment of souls where they lead into all that God has in store for them. You go down one more generation, Moses. Long dead and buried, Joshua now is the leader, and at the end of his life, he has the same kind of moment. You can read about it in Judges, or Joshua 24, where he gathers the people together and he says, choose for you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you opt not to serve the Lord and serve other kings and other gods, you will be destroyed. And listen, it's not that if we choose to run away from God and have other kings, God's going to get us. But rather, this is the sum result of our life if we have any other king in our life other than God himself. He doesn't need to actively come and get us. I'm going to ruin it on my own. I'm the one that takes the shot into the brook after my friend's like, are you just done? Yes, you are. Or not. Let's see you take the shot. Bracket moron. Like, this is how this conversation went forward. The third moment is this moment where they actually left God. And God is back to the new story. And he's still in the world. And this is what we have. That's what we just said. And it's this here. Saul is holding an office that God does not even want to exist. He's in a role that was never part of God's design or plan for the people of Israel. And yet, God comes to him over and over and over again through his reign of 42 years. It's almost like, oh my goodness, if I don't do something, you are really going to remember him. He comes in his power, he comes in his spirit, he comes in over and over and over and over again, trying to essentially redeem him and get him out of the state of torment that he brings upon himself and others. This is scripture that we walk around and we do all these things. God allows us to choose our own life. In great sorrow, he then follows us because he knows what we're going to do. He knows that when we're in the book on number 9, that from golf course, my grandchildren, just sit back. No, if you get there, just sit back. Because he's after us all the time that we recognize this place, respond, and get out of the space that we created for ourselves. And after the end of this, there's lots of things that we can talk about. But the one thing that we're they don't hold the particular office, but they hold the particular office. This has to be one of the clearest pictures of the human sinful consciousness that we suffer from. God has spoken to his people. He reminds them of all that he has done for them. And at this point in the story, the list is pretty spectacular. Like, they have multiple moments where they could point to, like, God did that, God did that, God did that, God saved us here, God, well, we really should. There's lots of things. And like, how foolish is the human heart that they are actually speaking of their person, who is God, as though he had done nothing for them. This is the one who brought them up out of the land of Egypt. This is the one who stopped and parted the Red Sea. This is the one who allowed them to overthrow countless armies. This is the one that held the sun in the sky when Joshua asked for the sun to stay in the sky a bit longer while they were in the midst of battle. This is the one who brought them food in the desert for 40 years. This is the one who stopped the Jordan River and stepped into the decision of water. And they're like, yeah, we want a different thing. We want a better thing. He's going to take this. We are a road different thing. We have all of God's we have a team that's just around. the right of the people. They understand the kingdom. And the bread of Jacob is all of them. It was a feature of the gifts. And it's this picture of well-dressed men in the tuxedos, fancy dresses, in this giant corruption school, all my words. It's amazing. And there's a guy daydreaming about what it would be like to be in the middle. And while this scene is unfolding, there's this shift going on ever so quietly. It's designed to make a lot of money. The goal is to be drunk and cast out the pool and talk to one of that. Like, and we laugh. And yet it's true. This is what we line up for. All the time in our culture, particularly. And that is, don't get mad, get even. In other words, get your rear end on the computer, sign up, and you'll make you drunk, pass out, and fool next day if I was a wealthy man. Like, it's just ridiculous. And yet we run after that. Like, I know that, I married up in the time, like, and he's like, yes, you did, like, I married up, and, like, we, they just kind of, like, that moment was like, all right, I am locked, and I know that I scored, I know that we were in this forever at 81, I'm where I'm at, but the kind of beauty is incredibly. These three girls, they do not like when it's still you. Do that. I want to find the boy that said that to them. You know what the people took to the girls? It's just all the people who said that. I feel that that's the way it is. If you hold that paper on your side, This is the new culture of the because of us, have the most restored view of the and the things that they're willing to do to achieve this are unbelievable. We took our daughter into the it took months getting out of prison. But that's what we needed. It took months to get there. And I don't even know what's really done. This thing can take a lot. We need to start to move outside the opportunities. My goodness. Here's the we like. It's all so that we who love him and follow him will find life in him. He's not after it. He's anywhere. He's after his subjects that they might experience life. He's a king who gives life. He's a king who desires for you to flourish. He's a king that loves you in ways that you never understand. And yet, because we fail to recognize how good of a king he is, we will run after kings that just rape and pillage things from our lives that leave us broken and alone and filled with death and shame and sin. Every human person should see your mother and your of vanity. I shouldn't have allowed myself to get into this place. And when God speaks to me next, my heart is so hard that I often refuse to listen to His voice, even though I know that His voice and His direction brings life to me. The cry of the Father is going to be how shameful, how murderous. Does not